From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. So, Annette, we know that Philadelphia has this reputation as a sanctuary city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just because of the fights between the Trump administration and Mayor Jim Kenney.
Today, a federal judge upheld our right to be such a city, to welcome immigrants regardless of their status, without politically motivated threats from Washington.
It's not just a policy thing. Sanctuary can also be something that impacts people at the family level, the individual level. And for them, it can be life or death.
For some people, sanctuary literally means taking refuge inside a church to avoid deportation.
And Shai, we now know that there are more people living in sanctuary in Philadelphia than any other major U.S. city. So we wanted to know why people are taking this step and what it says about the state of our immigration system right now.
We're doing a two-part series on this story. Today's show, Risking Sanctuary, Part 1. WHYY's Laura Benchoff and the Philadelphia Inquirer's Jeff Gamage have been following one family, the Thompsons, a family from Jamaica, who were living at First United Methodist Church of Germantown. So, Laura, you and Jeff went out to visit the Thompsons just on a normal day. Tell me what that was like.
Yeah, we got there at about 6 in the morning. It was a cold, dark Monday because we wanted to get a sense of what is it like to spend all of your time in a church. Right when we got there, Juanita Thompson was getting ready to wake up her 16-year-old daughter, Christine, so she could get ready for school.
May, can we come in?
Christine goes to International Christian High School, which is about 40 minutes across town by bus.
Time for school. Good mom.
That day, it just happened to be a school holiday, so Timothy, their 12-year-old son, stays in bed under the covers. But for Juanita and for her husband, Clive, it becomes really obvious that sending their kids out into the world is really hard. Even though they're protected in this church, it's not their home. Christine bundles up, and then they all walk out together from the youth group meeting room where the couple sleeps, down these big, grand church stairs to a stone archway. They say goodbye to Christine at the door, and once she's gone, Juanita breaks down.
This is all for her. I can't go. And I can't even go with her to the bus stop. It's made me really, really sad because if something happened to her, how can I go out there?
So she can't leave because Juanita and her husband Clive aren't supposed to be in this country anymore.
If ICE is out there, you know, what would happen? Then I'll be really separated from the children.
So, Jeff, why can't they leave?
They can't leave the church because they lost their asylum case. They're what the government considers immigration fugitives, which means they can be arrested and deported at any time. But the church offers them protection because ICE also implements what they call a sensitive locations policy, which means people who are in churches, college campuses, schools, hospitals, they're generally off limits for ICE. So you can stay inside and be safe. There's a man who's been inside a church in Phoenix for nearly 3 years now. And there's another man in North Carolina who dared to step out in November. He thought he was just going to a brief meeting about his case. And instead he was arrested. At the same time, the Thompsons had been here for 14 years. So they set down really deep roots in this country. They were supposed to be deported to Jamaica at the end of August, and instead they kind of slipped through this trap door and into sanctuary.
So, Jeff, I think a lot of people get confused about this when we're talking about sanctuary. What exactly does it mean, and where did it come from?
The concept of sanctuary is actually biblical. It goes that far back. But what we're talking about today really springs from movements of the 1980s.
A growing number of congregations across this country have joined what has become known as the sanctuary movement.
And that was when people were fleeing civil war and violence in countries like El Salvador and Guatemala and Central America. And they were being denied asylum by the U.S. justice system. Those people found haven in churches across the country.
They number about 100 churches and synagogues in California, about 300 nationwide.
One of the similarities between then and now is that the people themselves have become symbols and spokespeople. The people around them and the immigrants themselves try to amplify these big dramatic stories as a way to try to change the conversation around immigration.
So, Laura, how many people are doing this in Philadelphia?
Right now there's 10. There's also 4 U.S. citizen kids of people who are needing to take sanctuary, living in the churches with them, so 14 overall. And that's obviously a very, very small number when you put it in the context of the estimated 11 million people who don't have papers in the U.S. But it's also grown a ton since 2016. And why in Philadelphia there are so many, we really kind of came upon a couple of reasons. One is that there's 3 families here. These aren't individual people. And also because there's a really established group here. The New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia has been doing this work, and they put themselves out there.
Laura, can you give us a sense of who the Thompsons are?
Yeah. So Clive and Juanita Thompson are sort of the center of this big extended family. They have 5 kids together, and Clive has 2 other kids. All of their kids are here.
They are doing good, you know. Shana K is a nurse. Angel is an administrator, still going to school. CJ, after
they all have some form of status, including the 2 youngest who are U.S. citizens.
Like some form of legal status.
Of immigration status, that's right. So basically, they're sort of the only people in their family network who could be deported right now. But that said, they've lived here with some form of permission basically up through last August, meaning they were working, they bought a house in far South Jersey, put their kids through school. Juanita went back to school.
Bridgeton High School as an adult and got my high school diploma.
Became sort of a nursing assistant at a nursing home. Clive, he's been working at a factory where they basically bottle your little creamers and halves and things like that called Cumberland Dairy.
I'm one of the best operators on this. Me and a guy from Russia. Yeah, it's 2 of us. Yeah, he's from Russia. He's an immigrant like me too.
They've just been living a middle-class life. So it's been a really big change going into what is, in effect, house arrest. You know, Juanita is very proactive. She's always, you know, trying to email congresspeople's offices and trying to marshal resources for their case.
You know, I feel like I'm talking for many more people who can't really speak for themselves right now.
Clive is a little bit more down. You know, he definitely seems to feel the weight of being more or less incarcerated a little bit more.
It's really, really hard for us to really explain what we are really going through. We're losing every day.
So, Jeff, why don't they just go back to Jamaica?
The Thompsons say that they and their children could be killed if they go back to Jamaica.
There's a casting waiting for us. Because after 15 years, they're going to say, well, you come back with a lot of money. You spend all this year in America, you have money, and we want that money.
You know how when you look at like the advertisement or anything, you see, oh, Jamaica is this beautiful island with the blue sea and all that stuff is there.
The Thompsons experienced a very different Jamaica. That is a place where criminal gangs operate with impunity and sometimes with the assistance of police. The other thing that keeps them in the church is that if they were to leave, they could be subject to a 10-year ban on reentry.
So where did they live when they lived in Jamaica?
The Thompsons lived in an area called Central Village. It's a little bit west of Kingston, and it's pretty industrial and agricultural. So they were farmers there. They had a 24-acre sugarcane farm where Clive was in charge of sort of the big money sugarcane crop, and Juanita had her own patch of cucumbers and peppers and this leafy green called callaloo that they would sell, you know, every month or so just to have cash flow. And they were pretty solidly middle class. You know, they had a car in a country where not very many people have cars. They sent their kids to private school. They had a pretty good life.
So what prompted them to leave?
2 events drove them out of the country. One was the death of Juanita's brother.
My brother was a master tailor, and they think he has money because he has this tailor shop. And
she says he was murdered by a gang when he refused to pay money to them.
He had bullet holes, like, everywhere. Half his neck was like, you thought you would think it was like a chop. It was gunshot.
Jeez. Extortion is very common in Jamaica. We've had other people tell us that they've been threatened in similar ways. The second was that about 5 years later, the same gang approached Clive at his farm and told him that he would have to pay them money.
What exactly happened?
Well, Clive says that one day he was working on his farm and he went down to an irrigation canal to check on the farm's water supply, and these men just sort of started coming out of the trees.
As I see one first, and then they start to come more and more. And,
and they say that they want him to pay money, which in effect he describes it as being asked to join the gang.
So, well, if you're not doing is with me, well, we know what we're going to do. We're going to murder your whole family. And I say, yeah, you're threatening my family? He say, yeah.
He refuses, and he goes to the police. And that's something that was really scary for Juanita, because the police are not really trusted in Jamaica.
I was upset because I said, no, you put us in more danger, because I
know. I didn't have any choice.
Yeah, but I, in my opinion, because I know how they are, I was like, no, they're going to say we are informers and, you know, stuff.
They are viewed as either ineffective or as bad or worse than the gang. Sometimes they are participating in gang violence. And the police come with Clive back to the farm. Of course, these men are no longer there. And a few days later, they can see smoke coming up over their farm, and all of their crops have been burned to the ground. And this is why they say they had to flee.
You have to pack up and leave. They send a signal. This is it. You won't join me. We burn the farm down. You got to go.
First, they went to Juanita's mom's house about an hour away, and then they fled to the United States and applied for asylum.
And we know, Jeff, that they're currently avoiding deportation, so that avenue did not work out for them. What happened to their asylum case?
They lost their asylum case, and they lost all the appeals around it. But at the time, the U.S. government was sympathetic to people who had community ties and family ties. And the Thompsons had two children who were U.S. citizens.
Tomorrow on The Why.
My name is Christine Thompson. I'm first generation American. My family is...
When do family ties matter in an immigration case? Will the Thompsons get out of sanctuary? And how do immigration officials view their situation?
And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me, Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari.
Special thanks to Laura Benchoff, who produced today's episode and reported it in collaboration with the Philadelphia Inquirer's Jeff Gamage. Editing help from the Inquirer's Kathy Hacker and Daniel Rubin, and WHYY's Sandra Clark.
There's a whole lot we didn't get to talk about on the show. To read more about the Thompson story, go to WHYY.org and Philly.com.
Let us know your thoughts on the Thompson's case. Tweet us at Shai Benyakov, at Annette J.H., or at Alex Ray Stern.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.
We'll be back tomorrow.